I tell you, let's do it light first and then pick it up.
I'm Johnny Athens, and this is A Whole Hour of Variety here on 101.5 Indie.
Indie 115, welcome to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. It is a pleasure to be back here, of course, as always. It's always nice to be here. And I just have to say that it is going to be an exciting show. I need you all to be very ready for this because it's going to be a big one. We have a lot of new music for you by the likes of none other than Ernesto Cervini. This hour has a new release, which we're highlighting. We have the music of Bill Kuhn and Laura Crema. Their album came out a little while ago, but we have a very special fact. We have them here on the show, Bill Kuhn and Laura Crema. They made this album together, along with many other talented folks. But we have those two here today, and we're going to be talking to them about this album and what it's been like over the past 3 months since it's released, and now that the project is over, essentially, with String Songs, that album. If you remember, we did highlight it when it came out, and I'm a very big fan of it, as I'm sure all the listeners know by now. We also have music by Peter Gregson, Laura Masato, Roosevelt, Brûlé le Meuble, and just so much more. Joe Coughlin started off the show for us here. Pete Fountain is also on this hour. And we've been off the air for 2 weeks. There's renovations going on here at the Indie 115 Studios. We're getting a new system in. We're upgrading. And it's just, I've got a backlog of stuff we got to go through here. So hopefully I can catch up by the end of the year, but let's see what happens. I'm just very excited. So we're going to get started with, and this album is a little interesting to talk about because it's not by an artist per se. It's kind of based around a concept. And it features 10 composers, performers, producers, DJs. The album is called Summer Tales. It was released earlier this summer. It features a lineup of several different artists, including Dave Douglas, Goldmund, Peter Gregson, Laura Masato, Mathilda, Model Man, Roosevelt, someone, Sam Thompson, and Zenobi. Those are everyone. And it's basically a concept album in that it's focused on a lot of classical music, masterpieces by Bach, Bizet, Tchaikovsky, and many others. And these artists were then given a song, or I'm not sure if they were given one or they chose, but they took their own spin on it. So some of them ended up becoming laid-back soundscapes, and some are more dance floor-oriented tracks. It was a way of making up the summer experience through music, something you could put on at any point in the summer, you know, a song for every point in day, just to listen to and to really capture that feeling. So it's a really great album. I highly recommend you look it, out for it. It's on Spotify. Just search up Summer Tales, the Essential Summer Soundtrack. A really wonderful album as well. Some nice distill going on. Anyhow, I'll get started here with a song by Roosevelt called Joy d'eau on Indie 115. 115. You're listening to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have two special guests for you here today, Bill Kuhn and Laura Crema. They released the album in July called String Songs. It's been 3 months. We finally got a chance to sit them down with us after much fierce negotiating to talk to them about this album. Now, we have highlighted String Songs before. I remember when it came out, I was a very big fan, and we discussed it a lot on the show. Now, it also features, just to catch you up, a little reminder here, so you don't go into the interview knowing nothing. That's always embarrassing. It features Laura Crema, of course, with her amazing voice, Bill Kuhn with his many wonderful guitars, and Peggy Lee on the cello, John Bentley on tenor saxophone. So without further ado, Laura, Bill, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's great.
I really did want to chat with you too, because String Songs came out July. I was just checking, like almost 3 months ago now, which is crazy. And we get a lot of music on the show, and String Songs, I would say, is probably one of my favorite albums we've gotten in this year. It was really just really great work.
It's wonderful to hear. That's really beautiful. Yeah, thank you.
I'd say, Laura, of course, you have an incredible voice, and Bill masterfully performing on the guitar, and alongside Peggy Lee and John Bentley. It was just an amazing pairing. How is it this project came to be? How is it you two met?
Yeah, how did we meet? That's a great question. I can't remember the very first time that Laura and I met, but I do remember that the first rehearsal that I had with Laura, she'd just given birth, so she was taking care of her baby as well as conducting a rehearsal, which I thought was pretty incredible. She was multitasking big time.
Very impressive indeed.
Yeah.
Is that true, Laura? Is he embellishing?
I do remember that. I remember that, you know, being like a new mother. And I think I had a Jazz Fest gig, and I was, my daughter was carrying her in the front in a sort of a carrier. And I was sort of, you know, trying to do it all. And I remember my brain being in a million different places, but probably seeing like I'm frantically trying to get it all done. I think it was so important to like continue to make music when I had when I had given birth, because I think or just after, just because it was like keeping my sanity, you know, a part of myself, but also so great to incorporate like children and in music and that type of thing.
Absolutely.
I do remember that. And I'd heard for many years and was in awe of his artistry. I got to know him a bit, and he was such a nice person, a wonderful person. And then we eventually began playing together. I think I hired him for various dates and recordings, and then we developed a friendship. And of course, I was always a huge fan of Bill's compositions and his abilities in arranging music. And he had done some projects with a singer-songwriter that I had really admired. And somehow he was continuing on with that vein. And then he had sent me a couple of different tracks to see if I was interested in collaborating, bringing some lyrics to it. And then he also wanted to work on lyric writing as well. So that's how it sort of began. And then we just had this project that we just were really enjoying each other's company and enjoying the process of collaborating, writing music, writing lyrics, writing melodies together, and it built into and kind of became string songs.
And we're so much better off for it, absolutely. And when you two first came up with this project for String Songs, was the original idea to have a full album of original compositions, or were you thinking perhaps originally something more like just your typical kind of covers, standards, duet album?
I think we were thinking a little more typical standards, covers, and because we both love that music as well, you know, the American popular song.
Of course.
You know, and we both have enjoyed that music for a long time. And But we thought, well, we'll put a couple of originals in there. And that just kept growing and growing to the point where it sort of overtook the whole project. And in fact, at one point we just realized, well, this is what the project is. The project has become something different. And so we embraced that idea of the composition and really delving into some different themes and some, you know, as Laura said, you know, writing lyrics and a little more of a singer-songwriter approach to a jazz album.
Right. It must feel more personal when the whole album you can really call yours with the writing and everything.
Definitely. I think sometimes with the standards, you become so you love them so much and you've played them a ton and you really get inside a standard and it can become like your own as well, which is really beautiful too. And so sometimes that can feel extremely personal, but definitely because we had written and both the lyrics and the music to this recording, it definitely feels like I feel like it's quite unique as it's a connection as it's we did develop it together. And yeah, it has so many different influences that come from both of our lives and our histories as musicians.
Yeah, and just continuing on that line, I mean, it's also kind of a very vulnerable thing to put yourself out there in terms of mm-hmm. lyrics and music. Especially when it comes to lyrics. So that was a little bit different for me. And I know Laura had written lyrics before, but this was my first real attempt to do it. And it was great to have someone like Laura suddenly, you know, I would imagine these words and I would, you know, be writing them in my room and I'd be trying them out on our guitar, like singing them in my bad voice. But in my head, sometimes I could hear Laura sing them. And so it was like, well, this is amazing. I can go over to her place and give her some lyrics and we can transform this into music.
Right.
Like really quickly. And that was very inspiring to me.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like talking to you now, you sound like really great. You have a great voice. I'm surprised you didn't go into one of those tracks and just start crooning something out.
I know. I've definitely, we did do some voice lessons. I've done them with Bill. A couple of years ago, and that was part of the project. Actually, we did do a concert, and Bill did sing in that concert, or a couple of different concerts. And so I really wanted him to at least to do some harmonies with me or you know, definitely sing a tune. But it didn't quite make it. But I think that's definitely a direction I'd like to see it go through.
This was a case where, I mean, obviously, Bill, you're a very established composer and Laura, lyricist. So was that something you kind of considered going into it? This good team up of, hey, you know, Bill, I can write the music and then Laura can put together these words and then we come together and perform them. Was that just part of the dynamic that was considered? Or was it just like it just worked out that way?
I feel like there was never, I think it was just purely out of, for me anyways, it was kind of like Bill's like, oh, I wrote this song. I can really hear you singing on it. You want to contribute to it? Or that's the way I felt. And then I was coming up with melodies and I was really hearing Bill too on some of them. Like I was in New York for a little workshop and I come up with something and I was like, oh, I can really hear Bill and I playing this together. So I don't think we had plans to actually record an album, but it was, for me, really enjoying and learning in the process of bringing ideas and seeing how it could be transformed.
I think the thing is that the maybe collaborating on music together, like playing, is quite different than composing together, like really different. And I don't think that would necessarily work out just because you can perform together. And I think, like in our case, we kind of got lucky that way. And it's interesting because maybe you might think, oh, well, the guitar player wrote all the music and the vocalist wrote all the lyrics, but that was a total mashup. We both contributed both. In fact, the two instrumental tunes, you had more part of than I did. Mm. Like it's, I mean, they're not instrumental tunes because it's just, they don't have lyrics. So you're singing on them, obviously, but I think of them more as almost instrumental tunes that don't have lyrics.
Hmm, that's interesting. Hey?
That is interesting, yeah. It's a unique way of looking at it, for sure. Since the album's been out, have you had a chance? I know COVID is kind of slowing down and stuff, and things are opening back up, but you've had a chance to perform this live since then?
Basically, we did a, I think it was June, so it was like a pre-CD release at Frankie's Jazz Club in Vancouver, and we were able to perform these pieces, and it was quite interesting because we had never performed with this group before. We weren't even sure what the group was because Peggy on cello and John Bentley on sax sort of added their parts separately. And so we had never played all together. Right. So what we, and there was some overdubbing, really so jazzy to have overdubbed guitars and stuff. So yeah. We ended up hiring Miles Black, who is really well known as a fantastic piano player in town, but also plays, it seems, all the other instruments. So we had to play guitar. So we had two guitars, cello, sax, and voice for the CD release. And that worked out pretty well.
And did you find that was, did you get a good response? You must have, of course.
We did get a really great response. I think, you know, within ourselves and the band, as well as the audience. And I remember Bill saying just right after, "Oh my God, we have to like write another set of tunes for another set."
Yeah.
Because the first set we did was basically all the originals. That was like an hour long or something. And then I did definitely at the end of it, I think we were both feeling like, "Oh no, we need to continue this," which is an amazing feeling that the positive outcome of it.
Yeah, like it could have gone. I don't know. It just obviously because of the musicians involved that we were able to play with. I mean, the level of musicianship was never within a doubt. And I don't know, those people that we kind of chose for this project are just really unique voices, and yet they're very supportive and very, you know, very willing to play as a group. You know, and I think that's really a cool thing about jazz artists is that combination is, you know, you do find that combination, and I really love it.
What I found too with the four of you on string songs is that you're all super talented at your respective, you know, positions in the group: vocals, guitar, cello, sax, but you don't overwhelm each other. No one's overshadowing another person. You're all just able to really embody that, you know, jazz group feeling of where everyone's supporting each other by doing their best. Was that kind of, yeah, I was going to say, is that kind of what it felt like when you're putting them together, performing? It was just, I don't know, that like, just that energy behind you.
Definitely. For me, I felt like it was such a group effort, and also including the person who had recorded it for us too, David Sakula, who was like the fifth member in there too.
Yeah, he was the fifth Beatle.
So yeah, I definitely felt that. I felt like it was very supportive, and it felt like a band. And yeah, there was no sort of person out front. It was just all very like a community of people coming together to create this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I think that's all from me today. I thank you so much, Bill, Laura, for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much. This is such a pleasure.
Yeah, real pleasure. And thank you for the interview. Really, we really had a good time doing it with you today.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys are great. You're fantastic. And I hope that we can have you two back, whether it's together or solo, you know, whatever the next project is, no judgment.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. Take care. Thank you so much again.
Turquoise waves, the clouds hang like gossamer over gray mountain tops. Nature's rich glow of colors. share. Yet I cannot see them through a blue, blue mist of tears. The scent in the air, the forest floor leads me to days before. I thought I'd forget your smile, but my heart won't let you go. The night draws in closer, the radiant sun has gone to bed. Shadows open up the night to a blue, blue mist of tears.
115, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was Ernesto Cervini with Bella Bella, a new release coming out. Well, it did come out. It came out October 7th on Friday. It was on Friday, October 7th, yes. A new release there from his album Joy, a really great album. We'll have him on the show next week to talk to us about that. So make sure to stay tuned today to hear more great music, of course, but next week because he'll tell you all about it. And we also had Bill Kuhn and Laura Crema with Blue Mist from their album String Songs. That came out in July, so it is already out as well, which means you can get it, no problem. And we had the wonderful chance, thank you so much to Bill and Laura once again for joining us on the show. That was a real pleasure. Now, I will move on. As I said, we got a lot of stuff to cover this hour, and there is another new release. This is by the group Brûler les mots bleus, which is a project, a musical project by the great Louis Baudouin de la Sablonnière and Eric Normand, two of Quebec's leading improvisers. Eric and Louis have known each other for many, many years.
But now, well, they've worked together before, but they've come together to kind of double head this great, I'm not even sure. I guess it's just one giant group, this Brûlé les Monts Bleus. And they have two albums that are out, L'Appel du Vide and Tardif as well. So those have both come out. The song we'll play is from Tardif. It is called Stoïque. And it's both albums are phenomenal. They're very exciting. You can find them on Bandcamp as well as tourdebras.com. To find out more about them. And that also came out with Ernesto Cervini on October 7th. And it's a really great album. It's a very eclectic, the music. There's a lot of different things. These guys are two leading improvisers, and then they just smash together to make some great music. So without further ado, here is Brûlé les Monts Bleus with Stoïque on Indie 101.5. Thank you. 115. This is the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in today. That was Laura Masato with Scheherazade. That was probably pronounced incorrectly. And we also had Brûler le Mont Bleu with Stoic, a new release that came out this month, as well as Sam Thompson with Pavan. And those two songs come from Laura Masato, that is, and Sam Thompson come from another album that was released over the summer we're highlighting today as part of the show, called Summer Tales. And it's works by many different artists celebrating and composing in their own way some really big classical music pieces, you know, things from Bach and Debussy and what have you. But otherwise, that is the end of the show, unfortunately. I thank you so much for tuning in. It has been an absolute pleasure to present once again for you and share all this great music, most of which today was Canadian, which is always fun. And make sure to stay tuned next week. I thank Laura and Bill for putting up with me this week in the interview, but next week we will have Ernesto Cervini to talk about the album Joy, which we did briefly mention. We played a track today, and we'll talk all about that next week. So until then, keep listening to the music on Indie 115. Take care and good night.
You're listening to CIOI. Indie 101.5, Hamilton's home for alternative.